Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters Edition. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Okay, we got a lot to talk about, and it's not going to be pretty. Just like our offense, it was not pretty. We were talking, we did like a half a show offline here just a second ago, but we're just talking, it's like, you know, even with these 21-0 starts, two of them, you know, the Vikes had, the Packers had it in the first quarter and change, whatever, 21-0. You know, the reason why that happened were like a couple of different reasons. Oh, a quick fumble. Oh, a punt block. Oh, this, that. You know, and all of a sudden it was 21-0. But in this one, this was just a slow beating, and it really felt like, even though you're only down 10-0 at half, 13-0, even 16-0, it felt insurmountable. Like, there's just no way we're going to do it until you score. And you're like, well, if it's 16-8, we could kick off and we could, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter, man. It was an ugly display of offensive football. And yeah, defense, we're not going to leave you out of this. Okay. You only gave up 16 points, but let's calm down a little bit. You guys need some help there too, a little bit anyway. Not your fault. Obviously, offensive struggles poorly. The last three games against this squad here, the Bears, that defensive line is just our daddy. And we do whatever it says to do. I mean, Khalil Mack is going to get into the Hall of Fame just off these games, let alone everything he's done in his career. Anyway, I am your co-host, Chris Carlson, Aaron Miller on the other side. And we're going to break this ugly display of offensive football down. Obviously, the offensive struggled. The holes, run holes were really not there. The pass protection sucked. You had Cousins up and down throughout the whole game. You had a variety of things that just went awry. And it was ugly. It was ugly. You know, we talked about the defense probably playing good enough to win. You only give up 16 points, but too many long drives, inconsistent pass rush, yada, yada, yada. So obviously we're going to break it down. We are going to preview next week. Yes, that's right. The sun will come up tomorrow. There is next week. We are at, I would say, the struggling, you know, New York Giants, but they have put together some wins here of late, I believe. Or wait, no, they haven't. Yeah, they did. Anyway, we got to play the Giants. And we've actually played them really well. If you look back well over a decade, actually, we've been, I hate to mention his name, but there was a certain green, I won't because of what he did and what he's in jail for right now. Okay, Sharper. Okay, let's just say who it is. Remember the guy who we thought, that's why, here's an example. This is totally off schedule, but that's an example of a guy that in an interview and in the community, Sharper was like the guy that everybody really liked. But he had us all fooled once we found out what the hell he was doing. But I remember Sharper getting a couple pick sixes. Harrison not long ago getting some pick sixes. We've done pretty well against the Giants, so that's what we need. We need to collect some wins now that we're 0-2 in the division. And, you know, it's the Packers and the Bears now above us. And, yeah, we close with Green Bay and, you know, Chicago. But, man, we talked about it last week how getting one of these really would have helped. And as crazy as it sounds, you know, we should have won that other game. Shoulda, woulda, coulda doesn't get you into the playoffs, though. It surely doesn't win you a division. But like I said, we will preview that Giants game. Hopefully we can bounce back. And then at the end of the podcast, we figure that, you know, if you love the Minnesota Vikings like we do, sometimes you hate them, but in the end you love them. It's your squad. There's a good chance there's a percentage of you that follow the Gopher football. So we will talk a little bit about that big road win at Purdue. It got a little dicey late with some onside kicks and whatnot. But, man, that passing game is just a juggernaut. Unbelievable. So we'll definitely do some Gopher recap, and then we'll preview the Illinois game that they got coming up. If this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, which of course is the Purple People Eaters edition, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoveradio. So you can subscribe there. But if you don't want to do the blog talk thing, I get it. Okay. We're also the Rope It Over Radio podcast, which the Living in Loserville podcast is a part of. You can go right to iTunes, aka Apple Podcast, Player FM, TuneIn. Those are great sources there. Spricker, Stitcher, really anywhere. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which you can find everywhere, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. In fact, you can use Siri and Alexa through TuneIn or Spotify to find the Grueling Truth or the Living in Loserville podcast, Rope-A-Dope, all that good stuff. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu. That's betnow.eu, promo code TGT, as in the Grueling Truth Net. And before we get to breaking this bad loss on the road down, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have, you're not happy, all these sports going on right now, you need some sort of cable, you could try AT&T TV Now. Okay, you can stream it anywhere. It's got the cloud DVR. It does have a 7-day free trial. However, the plans start as low as $50, HBO included. Try it out. AT&T TV Now. Used to be DirecTV. Now, streaming service cable. Try it out. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host to see how he is doing. Hello, Aaron. How are you doing on this fine evening? We totally did a Minnesota thing. Yesterday, it hit 84, and at 7 o'clock, it was still 84. Storm came in, and at about 2 in the morning, it's 50. So you're looking at about 34-degree drop, and fall is here and here to stay. How the hell are you, sir? Consider all things considered with this debacle on the road in Chi-Town.
I'm well. It's Minnesota, so if you don't like the weather, you know, wait 10 minutes, and it'll change up on you. So, okay, so let's get into this game a little bit here. You know, I've just noticed that, you know, since 2017, let's kind of walk down a timeline here quick. You know, that was the year that we figured out we had a terrible offensive line. And who showed us that? It was the Bears. And that's when we had a lot of injuries. So we placed it on injuries.
You're talking about then, last year, right?
No, I'm talking about 2017. I'm talking about the year before last year.
Okay. I'm probably going to disagree on
that. Was that the Keenum year?
We were second
okay,
in
so let's
in
go
rushing.
The year before that yeah. then. That
oh,
was
okay.
the injury, the injury riddle that we figured. Yep.
Bradford and the Bridgewater, those 2 years in a row. You're right. 2015, right. 2016. Gotcha.
Right. And then the following season was the Keenum year. We had a great year. It was fine. We didn't seem to have many problems with the line. We ran the ball well and seemed to pass enough to get through. Now we go into the year after that, which was last year, and we played the Bears, and they showed us just how terrible our offensive line was. Even though the changes that we thought made would help, did not help at all. Now, and it ended up swinging our season. It was about mid-season, and you and I remember on the podcast were saying, well, this is going to tell us where we're at, blah, blah, blah. Well, we found out where we're at, end up 8-7-1 and missed the playoffs. Now we play them in week 4. They destroy this offensive line, this incantation of an offensive line from us, a total destruction. And so now we're stuck here going, okay, moving forward, how is our line? Is it good? Where are we at? You know, did the improvements help at all? You know, times of things like that. So, you know, the Bears always kind of show us where we're at. And it doesn't look real good. Let's hope that the Bears defensive line shows to be as good as they were on Sunday.
Yeah, that's really well said. Last year, they really humbled us and then just smacked us around the field that closing game. That was some ugly stuff, that closing game, but not quite as ugly. We thought we had seen ugly. Oh no, we've seen ugly. Now that game, like I said, to the feeling of being down 21-0, it felt worse than that in this game, even though we were a score away from being right in the game. You just didn't feel it. You just didn't feel good enough about it. It was just like, I just don't know. And, you know, we were all happy that big boy in the middle was out of the game. Oh, my God, the defensive tackle's out of the game. Sweet, dude, here we go. This is going to be dope, you know, and all this, that, and the other. But then, and I forgot who it was on Twitter, but he brought up some stats from last year's game. And the D-tackle that filled in actually had a really good game against us as well. And once again, it really didn't matter, man. They got enough pieces around there. And obviously with Khalil Mack, once they got him on the squad in general, things got ugly, man. But yeah, he named like four different players and was like, oh yeah, that's true. Good point. I guess this isn't going to be as cool. Okay. So, D-tackle Roy Robertson Harris created 6 pressures on 32 pass rushes last year. In each of the 2 games, Nick Williams got a sack. And then we obviously had our handfuls with Floyd and Mack and Goldman. So, you know, Akeem Hicks being out of it, it felt like, okay, dude, we're going to be able to run here. But then again, we were talking about this off air too, Josh Klein, which right now, if you look at, let's say, the last 4 years of these offensive linemen, some of them haven't even been in the league that long. He's the best we got right now. Clearly you can see that in the games, you can see without him. Now, does that mean, oh, we would have opened up all these holes and this, that, and no, the hell no, it doesn't mean that at all. But, it was just bad, dude.
Well, you have to ask yourself, like, is it us or is it them? Are they that great of a defensive line or are we that poor of an offensive line? I mean, that's where it's going to really play out for the rest of the season, is we're going to find out. You know, if they continue to dominate every team like that, which they really haven't the first 3 games, that Packers seem to handle them. Everybody else seemed to handle them pretty well. But, you know, so we'll see how great they are as the season progresses and see how good we are. I had a lot of confidence going into this game thinking, well, we've got an improved line. We've got, you know, Bradbury seems like he's a good thing, because, you know, they destroy the interior of your line, basically. And then because you got to give help for Khalil Mack, no one's going to handle him one-on-one. And you can't chip him with a tight end, as we showed. You can't chip him with a back. You almost need 2 linemen for him. So that opens up a lot for all those other guys. And now you look at our line. Okay, so we got Elf line. He seems to have issues. You were pointing that out last week. Seems to be, you know, grasping for air and things like that. And then you got Bradbury, who's young. Maybe that improves. But the loss of Klein, like you mentioned, I thought was a big part. He must add something quite significant to that offensive line.
Yeah, because Dozier, you know, they're bringing up his name for all the wrong reasons. You know what I mean? It was like, and defensively, it started out defensively as well. Okay, they only gave up 16 points. We get it. It was only 10 zip at half, only 13 zip right in the beginning of the quarter, you know, after that issue happened there. But, like, they didn't play that well as far as drives. Like, there's a couple times, too, 4th and inches, they got it. There was a fumble recovery, but a Harrison holding nullified it. Like, there was just – we got Trubisky out of the game. They bring in Chase Daniels. Oh, wait, what's he doing to us? It was 7-0, right, with that TD pass that he had. And they're spreading the ball around. 5 different receivers. And like I said, there was almost a fumble recovery right there. We almost had it. It was like – there was just a couple of plays in there where it's like – you can feel like, oh, that didn't go our way early on, right? Okay, no big deal. That happens, you know, but then it starts to add up. But to come right out, Aaron, and have a 14-play drive, 75 yards, 7 minutes in football on a drive is just on some Nebraska Cornhusker shit. You know what I mean? Like, it is, and Rozier would already put it in the end zone before he hit the 7-minute mark back in the day in the 80s. I mean, and then we came out, had a 9-play drive, started showing something. Oh, had to punt. Okay. Then we did hold them. I'll give the credit. We gave up 8 plays in 5 minutes and 40 yards, though, but we did make them punt. Okay. Then we had a 12-play drive, over 6 minutes, 61 yards. Here we go. Dix fumbles. So could we have gotten 3 points? It would have been 7-3 at that point. So we fumbled. Okay, no big deal. It happens. We got we started at, you know, what did we start at? The fucking 5 yard line or whatever. So that's cool. You know, the Bears helped us out on that drive too with penalties. Okay, cool. We maybe would have had a field goal. They turn around and go 16 plays. I said 14 earlier. 16 play drive, 72 yards, 6:36. It ate up the clock. It's 10-0. We go out, first play, Khalil around the fucking end, fumble, it's over. Another field goal, 13-0. Now, in the second half, I did like how the defense showed up and gave our offense plenty of chances to win this game. And overall, like you said earlier, we could have put up a little bit of points and get a field goal here, field goal there, then get that touchdown. Now we're in business late. But it's 13-0. And it feels like it's 28-0. I mean, 16 and 14 play drive with fucking Chase Daniels can't happen. I'm not just going to leave the defense out of it, even though we're going to pick on the offense mostly.
Yeah, two possessions in the first half is you can't, I mean, to hold the time of possession like the Bears did on their end is just masterful. I mean, keep a good offense off the field. You really can't ask for anything more from their side of it. And, you know, to finish our drives, when we got the ball, you know, like you said, we turned the ball over on downs, I think, and then Diggs fumbled. And that's your first half offensively. Defense is out there the entire half. So then you come out second half. Like you said, Mac around the corner, hits the arm, ball's out, ball game. I mean, you can't move the ball. Cook kept running into their front constantly. There were no holes, and like when he finally got a chance to run, Reef trips him up. So there's really nothing going on. I mean, Cook's 14 rushes for 35 yards. Now, last week, we were in a little bit of a conversation about, you know, if Cook could get, you know, 75 yards on 16 carries, that would be enough. And I think that would have proven true. But then I retorted and said that, okay, well, it's probably going to be more like, you know, 16 rushes, 40 yards, and it ends up being 14 rushes, 35 yards. I just didn't see them running the ball against that front. And now, you know, if Cook could have broke loose on that one, like you said earlier, you know, maybe at 75 yards, maybe he gets 40 yards, maybe a touch out of it. You never know. But, you know, Diggs, you know, 7 catches, 108 yards isn't a bad day. No touchdowns, of course. But, you know, you move the ball a little bit. A lot of that, I think, was in the late part of the game. But you just couldn't. That first half was disastrous. You just can't have two possessions and then fail to score at all on those two possessions in a close game. I think it was 10-0 at the half. You're still in that ball game if you can just get it flipped around. And that defense, you know, they played well enough, you know, to win. You score 17 points, you win that game. Right. So, you know, you can't really fault them except for, you know, you got to get off the field on third down. You just have to do that against the backup quarterback. You got to do that. I understand the game plan was changed because Trubisky went down and you have to readjust and all that stuff. But Zimmer's quite good at adjustments. So I just feel like there's something there. They just weren't catching on. Nagy, you got to tip your hat to him. He did a good job. But, you know, that's the kind of game you just don't want to see when you're expecting to watch the Vikings.
Yeah, you're right. And it like you said, it does wear you down. You're looking at ball control. You know, I'm just picking little parts of the game here. You know, they got 22 plays to our 10, 125 yards to 30, 12, almost 13 to 4. Like, the ball control, even when we got back into it, it was still, we never quite could get all that ball control. There's a moment where it's 4:47 in the third quarter, 13-0, right? They have 48 offensive plays. We have 28, okay? We have, it's 26-16 to 30 or 13:58 ball control, you know, time of possession. I mean, it was just like, oh my goodness gracious. And when you look at, you know, that, like what you brought up, Cook, and how that play could have been those, whatever it was, 40-some-odd yards, and that may have done it, especially at that moment where you're not even down 16-0 just yet. So those are the little things you have to do, and you have to capitalize. Like you said, we had these drives, but we didn't capitalize. And if you just, it just feels good to get a field goal when it's 7-3. Okay, it's 7-3. We did something. We got confidence. Okay, let's keep moving the ball. And so I can't really fault Cousins in the first half based off of we barely had the ball and he didn't fumble the ball. Now, in the second half, you know, that's when we can start to rip them even more. And we'll start with Cousins because that's what everybody wants to talk about anyway. So let's start with Cousins and we'll get to the rest. But, you know, Cousins for the fourth week in a row did things off schedule on third down. And he was getting the ball. I did like how, not necessarily Cousins, but Cook. We'll get to him later, too. Cook, I did like how he was getting out for screen passes, and they were doing a little bit like, okay, yeah, just throw it to him, and hey, that's an 8-yard pickup. That works. That's pretty good. Obviously, the play that Cousins missed, that deep ball, we talked about this off-air, that he probably, in that area, it's not, like, where he had to throw it, it wasn't really just put in his breadbasket and he scores a touchdown. That's super tough to do. It would have been where he just kind of dives over the shoulder, catch it at the 5-yard line. We probably would have popped it in. But Cousins missed that clearly. Now, on the second half, at the beginning of the second half, he's throwing the ball. We both can agree that's not his fault. He's throwing the ball. Fucking dude got around there. He took his step, looked at a read, threw it. That's not his fault. Now, the other fumble, though, it's just ridiculous. Okay, let me get this straight, Cousins. So you got hit, were able to hold on to the ball. You secured it, but at the very last second, the guy that doesn't do stuff off schedule, that's like the biggest complaint about him, even though it's weird that he's doing shit off schedule. But then when we don't want you to do shit off schedule, you try this weird little Brett Favre flea flicker that comes out of your hand, and oh, now it's a fumble, and oh, it's just like, dude, this ball control thing, like, come on, dude. You know, we're not a show that's going to rant about that first fumble that you got hit from the behind when you throw. We're not going to do that. A lot of other shows do that. That's fine. But we're not going to do that. We're going to find the good, the bad, and the ugly. But there was a whole lot of ugly to go around. But you cannot let the ball go at that second. Just hold the fucking ball. Just go down with it. You know what I mean? And so that part was rough. Now, I got a question for you, sir. Okay. All of a sudden on fourth and three, we're like, fuck it, dude. Let's go for it. Let's just go for it. We kept the drive alive. Actually, Cousins went off schedule on that play. It was like, okay, we are starting to move the ball. And they went to, it seemed like we were either going for a screen pass, Aaron, or a deep ball in the first half, or even first half in change into the third quarter, right? I mean, we were still trying to establish the run somewhat. But if you don't pop something, because remember, for his longest one was 9, and that came late. Otherwise, it was a 4-yard run was his longest run until that 9-yard run late, and it was on like a third and super long, so they were just trying to switch it up, and that's why he got that 9 yards. But the play action has to be there so you can actually throw it. But it seemed like we were trying to go deep so much that we don't have time to protect on a deep pass anyway. We're not fooling them with the play action because we're not running. So I liked how they, and there's a question in here, Aaron, I promise you there is a question. I liked how they went short and intermediate routes once they said, all right, fuck it, let's try this. Now, should they have gone to that earlier? Because it sure was working a little bit. They're going to give you 4 yards and 6 yards and 8 yards, and we'll take that. And actually, when I look at it, he had like 10 straight completions, I think. And look, we had a 12-yarder, a 6-yarder, a 3-yarder. 12-yarder, 12-yarder, 7-yarder, 23, 3, 8. So we weren't chunk playing it, but we were moving the ball. Should we have gone to that short and intermediate a little bit earlier?
I think so. In fact, you know, it would have been some bit of gamesmanship had you not, I think you could have gotten a little more success early in the game by not trying to run Cook up the middle and maybe hit him on the swing passes earlier in the game as opposed to late in the game. It would have threw maybe a different loop in there. They obviously thought you were going to come in and try to run the ball, which is what we tried to do, and it didn't work. So, you know, maybe you thought about it a little bit, said, well, maybe we do the swing passes and work into the run, but it didn't happen that way. So it's hard to say what it could have shut on all of this, you know, if Reef would have pulled his legs in, maybe, you know, Dalvin gets, you know, 45 more yards. The thing is that, you know, my biggest complaint moving back to the Cousins situation is turnovers, man. In the last 15 or in the last 20 games, he's got 15 fumbles. You can't have that. And you throw in the interceptions on top of that, you're probably somewhere near 22, some kind of turnovers. I just don't remember Vikings team giving up so many turnovers. And in a close game like the one we just played, when you're 7-3, 7-0, 10-0, you just can't have turnovers at all. And, yeah, we can't blame the first one on Kirk. It's a great play by Mack, and that's going to happen. But like you said, the careless with the football when he's hit. Now, I don't know what to blame that on. He talked a little bit on his show about how he needs to tuck the ball in. Well, you know, how many years have you been playing ball, Kirk?
Yeah, you had it tucked, dude.
You're just figuring that out now.
You had already tucked the fucking thing. Why'd you bring it back out to play?
Right, and I don't know if he was trying to – I remember the drop you're talking about. And I don't even know if he was trying to flick that thing or what. It just fell out of his freaking hands, man.
That's what the slow motion looked like. You see Cook was right there. It looked like he just was trying to do that because, like I said, he had it tucked. Well, he didn't have it tucked, but he had it locked in his arm. And then at the very last play, he just tried to dump it. It's just like, what are you, doing, dude? I don't care if the 15 fumbles, if only seven of them were covered by them. It doesn't matter. You're losing yards either way. You know what I mean?
Right. And you just can't turn the ball over on the road or in general. In a close game, I mean, all the things where you don't want to turn the ball over was exactly what this game was, and you just can't turn it over. Now, they didn't turn the ball over at all, thus the 20-minute drives and the, you know, two possessions in the first half. I mean, it was textbook about how they defeated us, and that's the part that I think stings the most, is that you just know that that was the most thorough ass-whooping that could be put on a team just happened to your squad. And you can say defensive line, their defensive line, this was missing starters. Scheme, what was it? I don't know, but that was probably the most thorough ass whooping I have seen in my memory. And it's tough to take. But, you know, Cousins, again, you're going to miss a throw here. You're going to miss a throw there.
Sure.
I don't really mind it. Yeah, at the time, it would have been great had he put it right on the money and Diggs walks in. That's fine. But it's the turnovers that bother me the most, and you got to find a way to clean those up.
Yeah, because he'll turn right back around and do something so positive. Like, we were just talking about how the short intermediate passes, I went over the 9 out of 10 completions or whatever in a row, right? Because they put that stat up during the game, so I just took a picture of it. And during that time in the second, this is second half pressure. This is second half, not first half. So he had 12 dropbacks, right? He got sacked 4 times, 7 hurries, and knocked down 6 times, meaning they got to his ass 2 other times beyond the sacks, hitting him. But he still was able to complete the passes. So it's like he did 10 in a row. So it's like, okay, so they brought the pressure, we adapted, and we still moved the ball. Now, you know, we ended up scoring a touchdown really late, but I wish they would have gone to it earlier, but like you said, I don't care about if only 7 or 8 of them were turned over. 15 to put them on the ground is just way too many. And by the way, that other stat had Khalil with 10 fumble strip sacks. It's like, oh my God, dude. Like, that is so many of them. Jesus, Mac, you're a monster. But yeah, I mean, the way – once we didn't get the 2-point conversion, I knew we were done because then we had to kick. Like, we, you know, we played better, whatever. Some of it's sloppy. Some of it's just prevent defense. Some of it is we're switching it up and they don't want to give up the points either. But once we scored that touchdown, I wasn't in love with the 2-point conversion play. I felt it was too, I'm not going to say gimmicky. It wasn't gimmicky. It felt like a college play. Okay, have these wide receivers block and have Diggs just go into me. It just, I wasn't crazy about it. You know, if they put body to body, Diggs would have walked in, but it's tough to hold them. I don't know. I wasn't in love with the 2-point conversion play. Obviously you got to go for 2 points at that time. But once that happened, you know, it was a wrap. And like you said, that was a thorough beating. Like, we haven't had much at all, especially the freaking we're not down by a lot. That's what really hurt. And we are starting now to, you know, have some animosity, some just people are frustrated. And we're hearing potentially, and this is total hearing it. We don't know if this shit's true. Diggs and the Patriots, there's some sort of thing going on there. Thielen, this is some quotes from Thielen. He said, I think it's probably the most frustrating thing when we knew what was going to happen at some point. At some point, you're not going to be able to run the ball for 180 yards, even with the best running back in the NFL, which I don't think he is the best running back. But we didn't think we were going to run for 180 yards. Calm down a little bit. But he said you have to be able to make plays. You have to be able to hit the deep balls. You have to do that because otherwise it's too easy, you know, to tee off and just be one-dimensional, which we turn teams into. Our defense usually turns teams into one-dimensional. Now, he also caught himself a little bit. He said, well, on that overthrow, on that deep pass, when he was asked about it, he said he made a great read finding me open. He just didn't complete the pass. It's as simple as that. But then he did kind of run some of it back like he has a little bit of late, and he did this last year too, and say, no, we're on the same page. We just got to do it. I don't have a problem with my quarterback because, look, last year I put up these fucking crazy numbers, so I'm not, you know, so he ran some of it back. But I will say this, through four games, and this surprised me, but through four games, actually Cousins is – On dropbacks, 34% of his dropbacks was his third highest in the league. He's getting what they call pressure, like someone in your face when you're throwing about it or hitting it or whatever, compared to 29 last year. And so it's just weird because he just didn't think that stat would even exist right now because we've run the ball so much. So I don't know. That's just kind of scary. And obviously Thielen overall, it's just like this is what he said to clean it up. The good thing is we have a lot of games left to show that we're a good football team. We're a good offense. And we have a great quarterback that leads us. But at the end of the day, we can't talk about it. We got to go out there and do it. And obviously he's sitting at 13 catches, 179 yards and two touchdowns in four games, which, you know, because if you look at the first nine games or whatever last year when he was setting all those records, obviously he's frustrated. Obviously wide receivers get this way. It is what it is. Him and Diggs have definitely, we talked about this before, maybe they're getting a little bit too big for their britches, but you know, it is what it is. Now here's the thing about the pass offense. In the next four games, and we're going to get to these games here, the Giants is next. They're the worst pass offense in the league. The Eagles are 21st. Now the Redskins are sixth, but I think he can run against them. But the Lions are 25th. So in this four-game stretch, and that's thanks to Adam Patrick on Twitter, and the next stretch here, we got to get back to doing what we know we can do, and that's going to be beat up on shitty teams. Now, you know, because that's what it feels like, doesn't it? That we're able to beat up on these bad teams, but are we really going to put it together? I just don't know. As far as Cook goes, pass protection. It's not his fault. He tripped on that TD run probably. But the pass protection, one time he got juked. He got juked out of socks. Another time they just bull rushed him. Another time he just let some dude go, didn't pick him up. So, you know, Cook's played exceptionally well. He's the reason pretty much why, well, that in the offensive line, why we have those two wins and probably should have a third. He's been a stud, but we're not going to just – you know, turn a blind eye either. He needs the pass protect a little bit better, especially in that game, because if he picks one of those up, maybe that's the first down that keeps the game, you know, that keeps the drive alive and we get three or seven. And that's when it comes down to the road stuff. We got to capitalize on that. Defensive wise, you know, to me, it was just inconsistency on the pass rush. Sometimes we're killing him. Other times he's just sitting back there. Too many long drives. We went over that, but here's the thing that I saw out of them. They're wide receivers, okay? Now, it seemed like to me, Aaron, that they were just throwing to a spot. And how many times, at least probably five times in the game, we saw a ball go really low or really outside, and it's only there for the receiver. And the receiver, how many times do we see a Bears wide receiver dive for a ball, you know, slide for a ball low and just make the 8-yard catch? And that killed us on all those long drives. it just it's and that's where the inconsistency on the pass rush hurt us, because they were that first drive spreading it to five different receivers. Like, they did a good job of, they may not be the best duo in, you know, in the NFL like we have, right, on paper or whatever, but I like the way they threw it to spots. They threw it just here. That's, you can only get that. Didn't work all the time, but that's something I noticed about that offense. The wide receivers aren't, there's not like one just stud, but they got a variety of just guys that are role players that can really excel in their role and put in the right position. That's just something that kind of came to mind. I didn't like it at the time, but I liked what they did as far as a game plan, and it worked wonders, man. And that's that short and intermediate passing that once we started doing it, we had more success. Anything else, sir, on this football game here? You know, the Bears just destroying us. Anything else?
Well, a couple of quick points. You know, the Bears did what a backup quarterback is supposed to do. Just take what the defense gives you. You know, you can't cover every blade of grass, although you'd like to say that that you can. And what they did was 8 yards, or the 8 yards that Zimmer's prepared to give up. And they just took it and took it and took it and kept going down the field. And that's just another frustrating thing. Was like, you just got out game planned, I think, completely. I mean, you bring the backup in and he's just taking what he gives and getting 8 yards, 3 yards, you know, moving the chains, eating the clock, which is exactly what you wanted to do. And that's what stings the most. It was just a thorough, just overall, just got beat badly by a decent football team. We'll see how good the Bears are. And then piggybacking back on the Thielen thing is, I agree with what he said. You can't be one-dimensional. That's what, you know, our defenses try to do, is make you one-dimensional. But I think we're starting to see the onion peel back a little bit here with the two receivers and Cousins. I'm not sure that's the greatest relationship that we've seen between receivers and quarterbacks in Viking land. I think that there's some friction there that goes beyond the press. It just doesn't, you know, you brought up off the air about maybe Diggs possibly in some kind of trade talk, which might just be complete hogwash, or it could have some teeth. We don't know, but it's being rumored around that there's something in the air about that. Well, that doesn't happen to a happy wide receiver and quarterback, you know, in mid-season. Now you got Thielen, who's pretty much company line as it gets, starting to pop off a little bit and then pull it back. So I'm not saying things are unraveling, but I think perhaps the writing's on the wall for something like that to happen. If it doesn't improve, you know, we try to be a run-first offense, and that's fine, but, you know, you're not going to be able to, as Thielen said, do that every game, and you have to be able to pass out of it and open up the run, and they just weren't able to do that. And I think maybe there's a pattern forming there that they're not liking. Now, I don't know any of them, and I haven't talked to them, and this is just me, you know, speculating about what could be going on. But you basically got two unhappy wide receivers and an underperforming quarterback. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that needs to be looked into a little bit deeper.
Yeah, and that is commonplace. But you're right. There's the writing's on the wall. I mean, he obviously is a little bitter that they got 180. He said 180 yards too. You notice that? He said it. He said 180 yards rushing. Right. So it's like, yeah. Oh, now you're keeping stats. So you're keeping stats on this shit? Okay. Yeah, there's something going on, because it's like, yeah, we know that though, Adam. We knew we weren't going to go for 180 on him though. You know what I mean? Like, we know that, though. We do know that. So, to me, like, I remember last year there was a little, you know, spat on the sidelines. And then later in that game, he said, this is what we should have been doing all night or all day or all game. Remember, the mic was on him. He didn't know that. It was on the sidelines. He had just made a play. Yeah. And, but the play he was yelling about, because it came out in the media after, he talked about it too. There was like, and that's when what's-his-toe said, I don't have 10 seconds, dude. Like, he hadn't even seen what happened to Cousins, and he was already bitching about the play. And it's like, well, dude, wide receivers got to be like the most frustrating position, because you know what you can do to a game. But you need so many things to go right. But you're right. Once we started passing to run for it. Once we started doing it, then we started moving it. Like you said, it sure didn't seem at the end of the third quarter that we were going to have a 100-yard receiver. And Diggs did. You're right. So they did change it up, and maybe he was frustrated at that too. Like, all right, well, shit, we got 10 straight completions when we did it that way. So why don't we try to do it that way? I don't think it's all at Cousins, but I do. You're exactly right about that. And in the end, 35-27 to 24-33, that is the time of possession. They rushed the ball 33 times. We rushed it 16. And so, you know, it's simple math at that point. And anybody that thinks that we didn't get beat up and destroyed in that game because of the scoreboard, they haven't watched much football, or they're just a fanboy or something, because that was an ass whooping if I've ever seen one. So, yeah. Well, anything else there, sir? You want to piggyback?
No. That? I think I've said my piece basically on that. What more can you say about it? So we'll move on to the next week, and that is on the road against the New York Giants. Now, Barkley's still out, I think, which will be hopefully a good thing for us. And it's another road game, but we get to see some familiar faces. It's Pat Shurmur. He knows an awful lot about us and what we like to do. Got a rookie quarterback. Maybe you can rattle a little bit. And so it seems like, and we like you said earlier, we have always played well against the Giants. In fact, the last game I went to was against the Giants on a Monday night game and handled them pretty well. This was probably three seasons ago. That was the season of the offensive line death. And so, yeah, I mean, I like the feeling of going in and playing the Giants, just because you got a lot of factors working your way. And maybe you're a little pissed off about this one. And if you're not, you really should be. You got something to prove this Sunday, and it's a noon game, so Kirk should be on point and ready to go. Hopefully there's wind. There's not a lot of wind. I don't know what the weather's going to be like there, but you want to be able to run the football against them, obviously, and you've got some wide receivers who are a little upset, so you might want to get the ball to them a little bit. Defensively, I think we'll be all right. In fact, I hope we dominate with a young quarterback like that. We should be able to mix up with our veteran defense, show him looks, maybe disguise things he hasn't seen. So I like us going in this game. I feel like, I don't know what Vegas has. I tried to look it up. I couldn't really see anything yet. I'm not sure if the lines are out. I'm sure they are, but it's five and a half.
We're favored 5.5.
Okay. That's about where I'm at. I'm going to go 28-17 Vikings. Maybe give the Giants a little bit more, maybe 28-20, but I'm going to stick with 28-17. I think we'll score the ball well and play well offensively, just because it's a weaker defense and we've got something to prove. I don't think our line is all that bad. I just think we met a really good defensive line and a great scheme on Sunday. So I'm going with the Giants on this one, 28-17.
Oh, you think the Giants are going to win?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going with the Vikings on this one, 28-17. Right. Sorry if that wasn't clear.
That's okay. All right, just making sure. You're right. It does seem like Barkley's going to be out, which, hey, you know, hope you're feeling better, just not for this week. Josh Klein, he's questionable at this moment. It's only Tuesday, so got plenty of time. Hopefully, you know, the guy had a concussion, so I'm not trying to force him back. But we need his ass back. He's our best offensive lineman, even though somebody at 1,500 didn't think he'd make the starting lineup. I got news for you. He's our best offensive lineman. The guy started. Oh, shit. You know what? God damn it. Dude, I didn't even think about that. The guy came in as to the Vikings 46 starts in a row, right? Something like that, 48 starts in a row.
Gets to the Vikings. Where you're going.
Fucking two games later, he misses a fucking start. You can't write this in, and you wonder why we called it living in Loserville, dude. It just clicked right now. Like, how did we not see that? Oh my goodness gracious. Anyway, hopefully, you know, it's a speedy recovery. They were 0-2, not looking good. Eli Manning, the old vet, not looking good. They brought in the youngster. What did I put up that stat? 0-44 down by 18, Eli Manning was. first down by 18 game this dude has, he fucking come back and they win the game. Pretty freaking crazy. They lost their first two games. Then the game I was speaking of, 32-31, they beat Tampa at Tampa too. So that was pretty impressive. Washington looks like kind of whatever. Not so good. They handled them 24-3. So they do look like they're figuring it out a little bit anyway. But they give up almost 300 yards in the pass. So I think that run pass, we're going to have to spread it out. It's probably going to be close to 50-50 at least. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. But I do like the Vikings' chances on this too. This kind of feels like, even though Philly had come off, you know, winning the Super Bowl last year and we had got beat by them and all that in the playoffs, it kind of feels like that Philly game last year where we're on the road and we're in between. We need this win. Well, we need this win just to get to 3-2 and get a road game under our belt. We got to win some of these road games. We feel like we can win them all at home, but you got to sneak two or something like that just in case you don't. You win only 7 out of 8, which is totally possible, as we know. So I'm with you there. Vegas has us clean by a touchdown if you put in the home field advantage. The over-under is 44.5, actually. So, yeah, I'm writing that probably 27-16. That's what I'll say. 27-16, a clean win for our Minnesota Vikings. Let's hope, because we're 2-2 and we cannot, I don't want to go below 500. You know, it's really, you start going below 500 further in the season and you're not getting out of that. And this is a team we need to beat. We got to take care of business, period. And we got Philly after that. It's a home game, thank goodness, but they're playing better now. At Detroit, home against Washington. You look at this stretch, the Giants, Philly, at Detroit, and Washington. We got to win 3 out of 4. Am I crazy? We got to win 3 out of 4 of these games.
No, you're not crazy. It's absolutely right. And this is a game that you have to win just to keep your team together, I think. I think we have a chance of you go get blown out or lose handily to the Giants, and you've got some locker room issues you're going to have to deal with, and that's could spiral into something that we don't want to see of a season here. I mean, this was a team that was set up, and it's still set up, for the most part, to go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, we finished a disappointing season last year. We right. felt like we could live with it. We make some adjustments, get some linemen. I mean, we had people like, you know, holding their rosaries at the draft for an offensive lineman. So, you know, we needed linemen. We got linemen. I'd like to see maybe Samia get some minutes. I don't know why he's not playing, but I guess they like Dozier better. And I just liked what I saw him in the preseasons. But, yeah, I mean, this is a pivotal game, and the next ones are as well, just to win. I mean, it'd be nice to get all four. 3 will do, and you especially need this one just to wipe the taste out of last Sunday out of your mouth and move on as a team. Otherwise, you get beat, man. This team could fracture, and we could be talking about the draft pretty early this year, and we don't want to do that. So let's not put that in the universe, and let's just go out and beat the Giants soundly on Sunday.
You know, technically, you did put it out in the universe, though. You do know.
Well, I know, but right? It's too late. Damn, I can't pull it back now. So I just tried to cover it up. I'm just like, okay, yeah, exactly.
Like, it matters, though. It's Minnesota. We have nothing to do with this. It's just going to happen. Okay, so that wraps up the Vikings. And we figure a percentage of you care about our Golden Gophers football team. And now with PJ Fleck, we're starting to turn a leaf, so to speak. So on the road usually isn't a kind place for the Minnesota Gophers. It's usually like, what team is on the field? It's really bad. But that was not the case. Now, I really loved a good chunk of this game, obviously. You know, to get up 7-0 on your first drive. You know how we were saying the first, you know, 3 games, they were you know, it was like mediocre play calling and just real vanilla, right? Well, I believe it. I do believe it now, because the way just that first drive was like, oh, shit, yeah, we're opening this thing up. And, you know, we had some three and outs or whatever, but to get a touchdown, for them to get a field goal, we go right back at a touchdown. Then they have a really nice drive, and it's 14-10. I love the way we put it on them, you know, to be up 28-10. I love that. And we even had a chance off an interception to, I think it was like a 52-yarder, 50, I don't know. It was a long-ass kick. But we almost, you know, added another field goal. And another thing I liked, Aaron, so they came out, it's 28-10 at half. We're like quick strike offense. A lot of these plays, you know, the way our quarterback's playing right now, it reminds me of some of the and I know you're not going to necessarily like this, but some of the Miami Hurricane quarterbacks get the ball.
Really?
Yeah, right.
Which one?
Get the and this is what I'm saying. I'm saying basic. I'm not talking about Bernico, you know. Not talking about Bernie. Yeah, so about mid 90s later in the 2000s, when they got good again, is get the ball to the talent. Just get it there in a timely fashion, and they're going to fucking do shit with it. Now, you may have to make a play from time to time. We mentioned that with your feet, or put the ball right where it needs to be. But I love how we're doing this. Just get the ball out to the talent, and they'll take care of the rest. Not to sit there and downplay this guy. I'm not at all. I'm not trying to do that at all. But I like that. I really like that. And also, it was 28-17. They score on their opening drive. And you're on the road, momentum's going, the fan base was still in it, and we had a nice little drive, 7 play, 60 yards, got a field goal out of it. Then we got another touchdown. We actually had a couple three and outs for defense. It was nice. Now, obviously, things got a little ugly. They had us late in the game. They had a 15-play, 99-yard drive, 6 minutes it burnt off to get it to 38-24. And then they got an onside kick and scored again. Now, I do like how we had 4 minutes. So it's 3:59 on the clock when we got the ball. 8 plays, 40 yards. We shut the thing down. We ran when we needed to. I really like that. You look at Morgan. He set a Big Ten record for more than 20 attempts. 21 of 22, 396, 4 touchdowns. And you look and you go, 34 carries as a team. 34 carries. 92 yards, 2.7. It's not really that much. But when you look at Rodney Smith, first of all, Morgan had 4 carries for 28 yards. So sacks in college count as that. And plus, when you knee it, you lose yards. So that's some of it. But when you're looking at Rodney Smith, which we didn't know he's going to be for sure healthy this week, I liked how they got Brooks, you know, got him in there a little bit, but 22-115 for 5.5, dude. And he just bruised it, and he looked more like he's looked for us the whole time. But when you look at Bateman, you look at Autumn Bell, and you look at Johnson, dude, like 6 for 177, 2 touchdowns. They're long 47. Autumn Bell, 3 for 97, 70 yards. Johnson had 8 for, he had the most catches for 73 yards. Like, we knew we had great skill position players on the outside. We knew that, but there's no way we could have known just how fucking good these guys are. And that is the difference since we've both been alive with this Gopher team. And even when Kill got us a hell of a top 20 defense in the nation, hell of a defense in a running game, but we could not pass to save our life. I mean, this offense is unlike anything we've seen. And if we can keep building this offensive line the way we are, then you look at Iowa, Aaron, and you look at Wisconsin, and you say, if we can get some time in the next couple of years, if we can get to that type of offensive line, we got way better skill players than they've ever had, if you're being honest. And it's like, wow, dude, this is, I mean, you know, I didn't like how we gave up, you know, a healthy lead. We need to close it out. We're still learning. But man almighty, 21-22. I just had to say it again. 396, 4 TDs, 18 average there. He's getting the ball out in a timely fashion. He's making a couple plays. Morgan is with his feet. It's all clicking. And I believe that was vanilla offensive play call in those first 3 games after seeing what we did there.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, vanilla. And it worked. You know, we won the games. You know, Bateman 6 for 177 and 2. You know, the most impressive stat other than the 21 of 22 for 396 and 4 touchdowns is Morgan. Morgan's a redshirt sophomore. Bateman's a sophomore. All of them are sophomores. I think there's a redshirt freshman in there. So young and building and learning how to win games the hard way. I mean, they obviously wanted to shut down the run, and they did a good job of it. Purdue did. And we just threw it. Through slant passes and short passes for long gains, short passes for long gains, run after catch, run after catch. It was nice to see that's what Purdue likes to do to other people. And we actually got that done. And it was an exciting game to watch. I actually sat down and got to watch the whole thing. And it was just impressive all the way around offensively. They kind of went to the well a lot with that slant RPO, but it worked. And if it works, keep doing it until they can stop it. I got no problem with that. So you got Amon Bell got a touchdown off that play. I think Bateman got one. And then he got a one on a really nice catch over the shoulder. We had to really reach out for it. Got on the tip of his fingers. It was really nice catch. I wish we could have ran the ball a little bit better. Brooks is back. I guess he was on a pitch count, quote unquote, from Fleck. I don't know what that count was, but I'd like to see him get. I really think he's our best running back, and I want to see him get into shape and get ready to play as we're coming down the stretch. I mean, the next 5 of 8 games are at home, which is a good thing. So we got homecoming this week, play Illinois. This is going to be tough. It's not a crappy Illinois team. It's a good Illinois team, and they're getting better just like we're getting better. And then you go on with the other games. Yeah. I think we got Nebraska at home. And then we got to go to Penn State. That's the big one of the year. And then Wisconsin, of course, at their place this year. So you get some big games. If you can just continue to build incremental steps on what we've been doing and get that offensive line a little more in sync every week when we hit those games in November, I think we'll be a pretty good football team. Now, are we going to win them all? I doubt it. But you could maybe split them. Maybe beat Iowa. You know, I mean, that's what you're going for.
2-2 in November. Sure. That's fine. Sign me up. Where do I sign? Yeah. I'll sign twice. Right. I don't need a co-sign.
I really like what's going on at the U right now. And I just want to see him improve. And I want to see that running game pick up. So that's going to be the offensive line coming together and gel a little bit. We know we have the backs. We're like 4 backs deep.
Right.
All of them have proven they can run the ball. We got a Cam Wiley now is coming up, so we got another back in the mix. We've got the backs. We need to create the holes for those backs. And at that point, if we can run the ball effectively and we've got those receivers, I just don't see us not being in any game this season.
Yeah, you're right. And sure, the defense gave up, you know, over 400 yards. But, you know, to get that 291, they had to throw the ball 49 times. So I'll take that all day long. No problem. They could do all that. That's fine. Now they were a little, you know, they gave up that long ass drive, and then not only did they recover, but they had like a run. You know, they gained yards on the recovery too. Total Minnesota thing. You know, against us, how many times do you get an onside kick and gain 20 some odd yards? You know what I mean? That doesn't happen a whole lot. You know, sure, we could sit there and say, "Oh, dude, they should have put the game away." True, but even like Flex said, this is what you're learning. Now you gotta the next time we get that lead, we gotta smash them. You know, so I like what I see. It's a road game. I don't think people, especially in college, I don't think people understand how hard the road is, and their fans somehow, some way, were in that fucker even when they were down 38-17. They were still making noise. I was like, damn, can you guys shut up? But that wasn't the case. So nice win, especially the way we did it. You know, having to run. We were just talking about the Vikes. Having to rely so much on the run. Well, shit, we would have taken 22-115 from Cook, huh? That's what we got from our main quarter. We're up here saying we need to run the ball better. But it's true, we do. But, you know, we still had a 100-yard rusher. But you're right. I liked what you said, how to close and all that. And did you get my text? I text you a kind of a dumb little percentage thing of our chances right now. You know, ESPN, it's always 58%, 72.7%, that type of thing. But I text you that thing. And, I mean, look at these games and it's like, yeah, we can win some of these games. We got to go on this run. Obviously, think Nebraska in the next three games, Illinois, Nebraska, and Rutgers, Nebraska is going to be that funky one. But like you said, they're at home there. So that does help a little bit on that. But that's neither here nor there, obviously. We want to focus in.
I did see the text, and I'm looking at it right now. And I'm looking at the Penn State game, which is a home game for us, right? They're coming to our place, it looks like. And they got us at 22% of winning that game. Now, I contend that if we continue to improve all the way through Illinois, Nebraska, Rutgers, and Maryland, I mean, I really feel like we got a chance to beat. I mean, that we're talking about, what is that, early November, probably maybe a little snow, definitely cold. Penn State right up here. I like, you know, if we continue to improve and knock on wood, which I think we should call this thing knock on wood sports at this point.
Seriously.
I like our chances at Penn State with the weather, hopefully helping us out. I really like that game. Wisconsin's going to be tough. They look sharp, man. And I've watched them a couple games this season. And, you know, I don't know how you feel. I'm sure you've seen them a little bit, but they look tough.
Yeah. And just to follow up, though, on Penn State, the reason why it's like that, because Penn State had like a shaky game at Pitt, which is no big deal. It's an in-state rivalry. But they're coming off Maryland. Remember Maryland in the first two games were a juggernaut on offense? They beat Maryland at Maryland 59-0. So that was like an eye-opener, like, oh, wow. Because they did have to – Penn State had to replace – their quarterback from the last 3 years. So it did take them a little bit going, but that's why I think that's at that area. But kind of back to what you had said, and I want to piggyback off that. If you look at last year, those last four games and how are we were getting over 200 yards rushing and all that. So I do think, you know, we can improve for sure because we know it's there on the offensive line. So in defense, obviously the line too, that's probably where we're going to need even more improvement, obviously. But yeah, man, going in November, yeah, I think we should try – if we could get 2-2 out of that. But, yeah, I mean, I liked how you said there is that – it shapes up pretty damn well for that improvement, and we need to see that. Obviously, part of that improvement down the stretch last year with those wins was the defense too, because remember, we were just saying, hey, you want some yards? Go fucking take them, dude. And did Illinois just tear us up last year?
They did.
Wasn't that the game?
Yes, they did, and it was shocking to all of us. In fact, that's the game that we fired the defensive coordinator after. And so, and now we got, and I'm not a huge fan of this defense the way it stands right now. I'm not liking giving up those points that we gave up to Purdue. We've given up a lot of points this year. I mean, it's made the games closer than they had to be. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly why that is, but, you know, I guess it's better than Illinois. But Illinois, you know, they're a little scary. They got a lot of talent offensively in the skill positions, just like we do. A little different style of a player, but they're really good offensively. Defensively, we should be able to run the ball on them, I hope. And if we can run the ball, eat the clock, you know, back to Jerry Kill days, I think we'll be fine against them. But yeah, I mean, they're not. It's a game we got to be. We can't just overlook them. We've got to be focused and ready to go, or Illinois will beat you.
Yeah, and this is what we're looking at, an over-under of 58 points. And at home, we're favored by 14 points. Now, they went neck and neck and toe-to-toe with Nebraska. Nebraska's not great, but they're on the move. They're pretty good. So I think we'll beat them. But, man, it's hard to be like, yeah, we'll beat them by 17. You know what I mean? It's really hard because of this defense, too, to just – think you're going to go and do that, you know? So I think we can get to 30 offensively. I really do. I'm going to call for 31 to 20. 31 to 20. Our Golden Gophers get it done. What says you, sir?
I'm going to go maybe a little less in the scoring. Maybe 24-21. Closer than we think.
Yeah. That it wouldn't surprise me at all, that's for sure. Any last words before we shut this puppy down, sir?
No, I've said what I need to say.
Well, that's all you got to say. All right, well, you know, we're signing off here on the Living and Loserville podcast. of course, the Purple People Eaters edition. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week. Let's hope that we can have two, not one. Okay, I'm getting greedy. I was going to say two victories, but, you know, on paper, both of them should get that. Anyway, we're out of here. We'll see you next week. Peace.